You're listening to KVCR News. I'm Benjamin Perper. On Fridays, we speak with former Press Enterprise columnist and longtime KVCR News contributor Cassie McDuff and review some of the big stories around the Inland Empire. Good morning, Cassie.
Good morning, Ben.
So first up, Nestle has been ordered to stop taking water out of the San Bernardino National Forest without authorization. What's going on with that?
Right. Well, this all started at the height of the last drought in 2015 with complaints that Nestle was taking water off the mountain and depleting, you know, natural supplies for habitat for animals and plants. And an online petition drive to make the U.S. Forest Service enforce the limits on Nestle was started. So the state conducted a review and found what it said were multiple violations of Nestle's permits and a depletion of water resources. So now the State Water Resources Control Board has asked Nestle to stop unauthorized natural spring water diversion from 13 locations on the San Bernardino Mountains, including from Strawberry Creek, which is a tributary of the Santa Ana River. So the company has 20 days to respond, and if it doesn't, the state can finalize this draft cease and desist order to stop these water diversions. An official with the State Division of Water Rights said it's concerning that Nestle continued with the diversions despite recommendations from the state before issuing the cease and desist order, especially in light of the ongoing dry winters. And experts are now saying it looks like we're at the beginning of another drought, and this may be related to climate change.
So I hear Nestle has actually sold off the North American Water Division, right?
Yeah, and that kind of complicates things. This is the company that bottled water under labels including Arrowhead and Poland Spring, Pure Life, and a half a dozen other regional brands. But the new owner apparently plans to challenge the order and said it will pursue all legal options.
Okay, we'll see what happens with that. Looking at Upland now, they've lost their ninth city manager in 10 years, right?
Yeah, Rosemary Horning was the city manager for almost 2 years. She tendered her resignation on April 21st, actually, but the council voted unanimously this week to accept it. As you said, since 2011, nine people have filled that post. There was no explanation of why Horning departed. We talked about this when she was placed on leave about a month ago. The city hasn't disclosed the separation agreement and did not indicate what her severance pay might be, but her contract would have remained in effect through February 2023. So I think it's safe to assume there'll be some severance. We'll report on that when that comes about. She was placed on leave earlier this month. As we reported, the city officials said they couldn't discuss it because it was a confidential personnel matter. But she clearly was not in line with the new mayor, Bill Velto, who was elected just in November. He was a supporter of the police chief, whom Horning had placed on leave last June, again for unexplained reasons. But that was a move that was supported by the mayor at the time, Debbie Stone. So Mayor Velto says the city will launch a search for a replacement for Horning, likely from outside the city. Meanwhile, the assistant city manager, Stephen Parker, is the acting city manager. He was given a raise this week and a bump in benefits to compensate him for this new role, these new responsibilities. And the mayor has said the recruitment process will be made public. He said the council wants to do things properly.
Okay, and speaking of Upland, a luxury car dealer there is accused of scamming customers, right?
This is a dealership called CNC Motors. It specializes in high-end vehicles like Mercedes-Benz and Ferrari and has been selling them on consignment for hundreds of thousands of dollars in some cases. But the owners began complaining to Upland Police late last year that they weren't being paid their share even after the vehicles were sold. And people who bought the cars weren't getting title to them, according to the police. So the matter was referred to the Department of Motor Vehicles, which has jurisdiction over auto dealers. The DMV hasn't said how many complaints it received, but one of these dissatisfied customers said a DMV investigator told him it was in the neighborhood of 40 complaints.
Wow. What has the owner of CNC Motors said so far?
He has not commented to the press, But his lawyer said the business was hit hard by the COVID-19 epidemic as an explanation for these financial troubles. And he said the company is cooperating with the investigation and hopes to resolve all the issues amicably and appropriately. But the disgruntled owners have been so upset, several of them posted videos on a YouTube channel, which brought out a lot of other unhappy customers. And so those people may perhaps have complained to the DMV as well.
Okay, we'll follow up on that one as the legal matters progress. And lastly, we'll end in Temecula. A council member there who compares herself to Rosa Parks for refusing to wear a mask has sparked a backlash.
Yeah, in fact, this is a story that's gone national. It's not often that Inland Empire elected officials make the evening news and even late-night comedy shows. But Temecula Councilwoman Jessica Alexander, as we talked about last week, made some comments that this week even sparked a humorous take by late-night host Stephen Colbert. He even ran some of her comments on his TV show and made fun of her. So what happened was Alexander, as we talked about last week, compared her refusal to wear a mask to prevent transmission of the coronavirus to civil rights leader Rosa Parks' refusal to give up her seat on a bus to a white man back during the civil rights era. Alexander said during an online council meeting that she felt like she was being forced to the back of the bus, and she was saying enough is enough. The backlash was pretty swift. Some people are demanding that she apologize. Others want her to resign. And at the council meeting this week, a number of residents asked the council to censure her and for the city to require council members to attend diversity training. The city does offer it. The most recent was available to Alexander, but she did not attend.
So has she said anything or apologized yet?
She has not. In fact, at the council meeting this week, even in spite of all the public comments, she did not say anything about it. She did not apologize. But Mayor Marianne Edwards indicated if the city fails to abide by the state mask mandate, it risks losing $14 million in state COVID-19 funding. So that's pretty serious. The city of Temecula does not have a mask requirement itself, but the state requirement, of course, is enforced statewide.
Okay, well, we'll follow up on that one. Thank you, Cassie.
Thank you, Ben.
Longtime Inland Empire journalist Cassie McDuff helps us out regularly on our Friday morning news wrap, and these reports are posted at kvcrnews.org. This report is made possible with the support of the Southern California News Group, publisher of the Press Enterprise, San Bernardino Sun, Inland Valley Daily Bulletin, and other Southern California newspapers. I'm Benjamin Perper, KVCR News.